Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
A very happy Football Wednesday. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we have got so much to discuss. It's Blake Bortles Pro Day. Another Pro Day of a quarterback who maybe could be wearing a Browns uniform, huh? We'll see how that goes for him. It's unfortunate that the Pro Day itself is going to happen simultaneous with the show, so we're going to try to keep one eye on that while talking
thanks to the Jaguars,
about other things.
The
thanks,
thank
yeah,
you,
I was going to say, thanks to Jacksonville for that. But we'll have some information from that, or as best as we can. We're also looking and hoping to have Andrew Hawkins in our number two, the newest Brown wide receiver, joining this team yesterday. Very exciting signing. And Hawkins, I'll tell you what, I enjoyed listening to his conference call, Nathan, where he got into the whole idea of coming full circle, having been here for that tryout in the Browns rookie minicamp, and now finding himself as a member of the team. And it just, you once again sense a guy who is thrilled to be a Cleveland Brown. That this means, yes, he got a boatload of money for it, but once again, I get a feeling that this is a guy who finds this place a good fit for him.
It's very exciting, not only what he can do on the field, but what you're talking about, his story. I look very forward to getting to speak with him myself about those types of things. And I have to ask you, since you've been here a lot longer than I have, do you get a sense from this free agent crop that there is more of a genuine desire to be here than perhaps in years past? Because I do, and I've only been here for two, I guess.
Right.
It seems that way to me, which is exciting.
Yes. And the answer is yes. There's a different feeling in the building overall. And what I mean by that is I talk with the people on the sales end, the people who deal with folks who would buy tickets, sponsorships, those sort of things, and they're good barometers to give you a pulse of where things are going, because they're talking with people who are going to talk with their wallets besides their emotion, besides their passion. Passion and emotion is part of that too, but I find from those folks that there is a real buzz about what the Browns are doing and a sense of rhyme and reason for what they're doing. And I think what occurs to me today after the Sammy Watkins, after the idea that they got Andrew Hawkins, and we've talked
you
a lot
Sammy
about
Sammy Watkins.
I got
on the
Sammy
brain.
On the break because I'm going to this, that you got a guy like Sammy Watkins in this draft. You've got other receivers in this draft, and you can look at free agency as not necessarily building the team, but building enough of a core so that the draft now becomes a case where if it in fact is a Watkins or possibly a quarterback at four, whatever it might be, but through the entire draft that you're getting complementary younger pieces that work in conjunction with the veterans that now you've brought aboard in free agency. This is really the way you're supposed to do it.
It's exactly the way you're supposed to do it, because it allows you then to take the best guy on the board and not be necessarily so tied to one position. We'll all agree that the Browns need to address the quarterback position. I know that there is so much faith in this city and Brian Hoyer right now, but the fact of the matter is he needs some competition. And whether that comes through the draft or a veteran quarterback, that remains to be seen. But getting yourself in a position and addressing the holes so that you do have the flexibility in a very deep draft to really play for value, I think is a great thing and a great asset for this Browns team heading into May.
Without a doubt. And number one, yes, that competition has to be there at quarterback. And I think Brian Hoyer is going to get that competition. And somewhere in this draft, it's going to come. And by the way, one of the things we're excited about revealing during the course of this show is our mock draft picks. We're going to debut those today. The full mocks will be on ClevelandBrowns.com later today. But Nathan is going to reveal his top five, which, of course, would have the Browns' fourth pick. We'll do the top five, and then we'll do our Browns picks in the course of that. We agree on some and disagree on others. You'll get the full compliment again on ClevelandBrowns.com later today. Nate Ulrich is going to join us at 2:30. We'll get his Browns thoughts from the beat writer for the Akron Beacon Journal, so we want to hear what he has to say as well. We mentioned that we'll also do a fact or fiction, by the way, later about 2:30 or so. Andrew Hawkins, we're hoping, will be with us somewhere in the 2 o'clock hour, maybe 2:15. He is having his physical today. So once he finishes up with all that, we're hoping to get him in studio and on the air on this show. We mentioned the Blake Bortles Pro Day, so we'll hear from some people who will be checking that out. And then we're going to also hear some sound from Ben Tate, who actually appeared on Hey Tony, new show on WKNR that debuted last night. And just on Tate interacting with fans and social media. And I'll tell you this, he's got a plan behind, just for folks, just so you're, and I don't want to spoil anything. I mean, he's very engaged in social media, but he's also a guy getting a lot of help in that area, which is smart on his part. He's seeking kind of professionals who know that space well and are getting his message across for him or with him.
Well, it certainly helps. It's a way to reach and interact with the fans, and it is such a public thing that is very, very good to have somebody to help you out there. And I've seen his interactions with people today, even today on there. He's clearly having fun with it. That's what I like. He is having a lot of fun, interacting with the fans of Cleveland, and certainly it had to be something that I think was a pretty neat experience for him to see and get a sense of the passion. I had an opportunity to speak today, this morning, on a panel about sports in Cleveland in general, and there is no more passionate fan base. And I've lived in a couple major cities and spent a lot of time in a bunch of major cities with major teams that have had a lot of success, some that haven't. There is no more passionate fan base than the fan base these Cleveland Browns enjoy here in Cleveland. I don't even know. It's funny. One of the questions was asked, what would this city do if they did win a Super Bowl? I don't even know if people would know what to do. It would be
spontaneous
euphoria.
Combustion.
There would just be
a lot of people exploding.
Yeah. It would be
red blotches on the ground.
Like South Park fans know, the smug, when people just start spontaneously exploding from smug. So, it would be unbelievable. It would be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's funny because I've heard that same narrative in the many years I spent 18 covering the Buffalo Bills. Very similar town at the other end of the lake. Very similar passion and pretty singular minded. Yeah, there's a hockey team there. Yes, there are baseball and basketball teams here. But nothing compares with the level of enthusiasm and interest that the National Football League team in these respective cities has. And the same thing is said there. What would ever happen? And Buffalo had those four consecutive chances to do it, and everybody wanted to see how the scenario would play out. I've seen documentaries and pieces done, like, had Scott Norwood's field goal just gone a little more to the left and they win that Super Bowl 25 against the Giants, what would have happened in the city? What would have happened? How it would have changed the course of history for that city? I think those same thoughts are here with the Browns and their flirtations with getting so close to the Super Bowl. But the sadness is, for generations of fans, they have no idea what the flirtation is even like. And that's the part that we hope we can see
change.
Come back here soon is even flirtation followed by getting it done. And as you said, when you engage with the fans and find out what their level of love and desire is for this football team to succeed. But I think you hit a big question. What would you do? Because you're so used to the opposite of this, you're so used to just not even contending that you'd be silly with just the thought of a drunk with enthusiasm.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And part of the fabric, I think, of this sports community in Cleveland is decrying the constant disappointments. It would be an interesting situation to see what happens with some success. And hopefully we hope to get there, obviously. I think that this organization does. It is focused. And I think for the first time in a long time, talking to some people, that there is a sense of at least a clear, concrete plan in place for how to get things done with this Browns team, both on the business and on the football side, which is exciting. And now we just, again, 50 days from the draft. Did you guys know that? We're exactly 50 days from the draft, which is going to be, I think, a three-day stretch that is going to bring a lot of new and exciting talent to this team. I'm excited to talk about my first look at my mock draft, and I just want to say that it's not what I would do in my mock draft, but it's what I think could be a likely outcome for this draft. So I want to make that clear. We'll talk about, you know, the differences here and there as we go through it. But
we're going to explain why you phrased it that way. I'm not going to spoil the surprise. By the way,
listeners, I'm sure know what I'm going to know what's coming.
Yeah, University of Central Florida play-by-play voice Mark Daniels to talk about Blake Bortles' pro day will join us very shortly. All right, so we are just getting this thing started here, and I got to throw one thing out there
to
this point because. And people, they're going to hear the source of this and roll their eyes, groan, but I'm going to share it. This was a discussion I had with Joe Banner about Browns fans compared to Philadelphia fans. He spent, as most people know, 19 years with the Eagles. I said, all right, what's your sense of the fan base here compared to what you dealt with in Philly? I worked in Philly. It's an aggressive media town. You think people get all over you when things go badly here. Philly is an entity unto itself, and I lived it. No, I spent 4 years there covering the Eagles before Banner got there. Anyway, Banner said the following. He said, "Here's the difference in the fan bases in Philly, in mostly the media that covers the team." He goes, "In Philly, they root for you to lose." He says, "In Philly, they actually want you to fail." And you can feel that sense. It's palpable that there's a real sense of kind of rooting for failure there. He says in Cleveland, they want you to win, but they're pissed off at you when you don't. And that anger is sometimes mistaken for a negative rooting interest. He says it isn't. They really are behind you. They want you to win, but he goes, they're just perpetually upset. And obviously they were upset, you know, with everything he was a part of right to the very end. But I thought that was an interesting perspective in the two towns, because you just said what it would be like. And I was in Philly when the Eagles, one of their two Super Bowl appearances, when they played the Oakland Raiders, and that was an unexpected ride there during their five championship, conference championship run. They got there and then, of course, lost to the Patriots. But it was the town just it got vile. The negative, the negative tone of it was amazing. All right, we've got more coming up. We are going to talk with the play-by-play voice of Central Florida. We'll talk about Blake Bortles' pro day going on today down there. He is Mark Daniels. That's next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The force from the beginning. Love.